This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fih. Kama yuhibbu Rabbuna tabaraka wa ta'ala wa yarda. والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue on with the lives of the Sahabiyat, the female companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we were on the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so last time we spoke about the eldest daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was Zainab. We now move on to the second daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after Zainab, and she was Ruqayyah. And so Ruqayyah, just like her sister Zainab, she was brought up in the household of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before the prophethood. And sometime before the prophethood, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam married two of his daughters, Ruqayyah and Kulthum. He married both of them to two of his nephews who were brothers, and they were the sons of his uncle Abu Lahab. And so Ruqayyah, she married Utbah ibn Abi Lahab. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first received the wahi, the revelation from Allah, at the age of 40, his wife, as we know, Khadija radiallahu anha, was among the first to follow him, to believe him. And his daughters, they followed her lead. They also embraced Islam right from the very beginning, including Ruqayyah. Now, initially, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not giving da'wah publicly. He was teaching and, you know, inviting people to Islam privately. But eventually, Allah commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to start giving da'wah publicly, starting with his close family and relatives. So he went and he stood on Mount Safa, and he called on the leaders of Quraysh, including all of his uncles. And so everyone who heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ran towards the source of the voice, and even the ones who could not go, they sent someone, a representative, who would report back to them. Because the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called out, it sounded like something very, very important. So when everyone gathered, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, "If I tell you that there is an army behind this mountain that is about to ambush you, that is about to attack you, would you believe me?" They said, "Of course. We have never heard you ever telling a lie." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "In that case, I am here to warn you of a severe punishment that will befall you if you don't believe." And so this is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started his da'wah publicly to his people. Now, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called everyone, as I said, they came thinking it was something urgent and important. And it obviously was. But for some people, when they heard that this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them, they were upset. And the most notable of these people was Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when he heard this, when he heard what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to say, what was his response? He said, "Tabban laka sa'ir al-yawm." Abu Lahab said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "May evil befall you for the rest of your day. Is this why you called us?" And so Abu Lahab, you know, he was a businessman. And he had to leave his work and his business. And the Prophet ﷺ is telling them about Allah and about the hellfire and a punishment. And so for him, this was not important. Like many people today, even many Muslims, if you tell them, you know, come, let's, attend a lecture or, you know, do something beneficial for our deen, they say, "I don't have time for that." Anyways, when Abu Lahab said this, this is when Allah revealed Surah Al-Masad. "Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab. May the hands of Abu Lahab perish. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. And may he himself perish. Neither his wealth nor his worldly gains will benefit him." Notice how Allah is telling him that his wealth that he cares so much about, his business, it's not going to benefit him. "Sayasla naran dhat lahab." He will burn in a flaming fire. And then Allah speaks about his wife as well, Jamil, who's also going to be in the hellfire. Why? Because, these two, Abu Lahab and his wife, from this day onwards, they would become among the fiercest enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so one of the first steps that Abu Lahab took, both he and his wife, one of the first steps that they took to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to have both of his sons to divorce the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We mentioned that before the prophethood, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married his two daughters to the two sons of Abu Lahab. And now there's a conflict of interest. And here you have ayat being revealed about Abu Lahab and how he's going to be in the hellfire. And so he goes to his sons and he tells them that if they don't divorce their wives, he's never going to speak to them ever again. So he went to his son Utbah and he told him to divorce his wife Ruqayyah. And in exchange, he would marry him to the daughter of one of the notables of Quraysh, the daughter of Sa'id ibn al-As. So Utbah, he readily obeyed his father and he divorced Ruqayyah. But guess what? Although they thought that they would be harming Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his daughter Ruqayya, Allah had better plans for her. And so soon after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam married Ruqayya to one of the first to accept Islam, a nobleman from Quraysh, a rich businessman, one of the pious, righteous men of the Sahaba, Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, who would go on to become one of the four Khulafa al-Rashideen after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so look at how Allah replaces for His righteous servants what is far better than what they may lose in this dunya. And that is the promise of Allah, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Man taraka shay'an lillah, عَوَّضَهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ," that whoever abandons something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with something far better. And we have in the story of Salama, where the Prophet ﷺ told her to say this dua if, you know, when she lost her husband, who was very dear to her. He taught her a dua to say, and this is a dua we should say whenever a calamity befalls us, whenever we lose something, to say, "Oh Allah, replace that with something far better. Replace that which I lost with something far better." And so without a doubt, Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu, this great noble companion, is far better than the husband who Ruqayya had initially, the kafir and the son of the enemy of Allah and His Messenger, Utbah ibn Abi Lahab. And so the two of them got married. Ruqayya got married to Uthman radiyallahu anhu. And they lived for the next several years in Mecca as the persecution of the kuffar of Quraysh gradually started to increase on the Muslims. It increased until it reached intolerable levels. And when that happened, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave orders for some of the companions who were able to, that they should make hijrah to the land of Al-Habashah, to Abyssinia. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them that there is a very just, pious king, and here he's referring to Al-Najashi. The Prophet ﷺ said that there is a very pious, just king, and no one is ever oppressed or wronged in his land, so go to him, go live over there. And so among the very first migrants, among the very first to make hijrah, was Uthman and his wife Ruqayya. And so it wasn't easy leaving their homeland, and in the case of Ruqayya, leaving her father, who is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but it was a sacrifice that they were willing to make for the sake of Allah and for the sake of their deen. There in Abyssinia, Allah blessed them with a baby boy who they named Abdullah. So one of the first grandchildren of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was this son of Ruqayya, which she named Abdullah, and that is why Ruqayya became known by her kunya of Abdullah. However, this son of theirs, he would pass away later on at the age of six in Medina, and Ruqayya had no other children after him. So this was the only child that she had. Later on, Ruqayya returns to Mecca with her husband. And this was after the 10th year of the Hijrah, or the 10th year of the prophethood. She returns with her husband to Mecca to receive the shocking news of her mother's death. And so Khadija radiallahu anha passed away in the 10th year of the prophethood. Then a few years later, Allah gave permission for the Muslims to migrate once again. In fact, this was an obligation on everyone to migrate, to leave Mecca and migrate to Medina. And Uthman radiallahu anhu, he migrated, and Ruqayya joined him later. As such, Ruqayya radiallahu anha, among the daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she had the honor of being among those who made the two hijras. The first hijra to Abyssinia and the second hijra to Medina. Then in Ramadan of the second year of the hijra, Ruqayya, she fell extremely ill. And it was at this same time that the great battle of Badr was about to take place. In Ramadan of the second year of the Hijrah. And so this was the first time that the Muslims would face off against their enemy. And it was a very decisive battle, as Allah calls it in the Quran, the day of Al-Furqan, Yawm Al-Furqan, the day of the great decision and the great criterion. Almost all the early Muslims participated in this battle, and virtually none of them missed out. As soon as the Prophet ﷺ announced that we're going out, you know, we're going out to intercept the caravan of Abu Sufyan, he told whoever was able to get ready quickly and come that he's leaving right now, and whoever is not able to, that's it, he's going to miss out. And Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu an, he started preparing himself for the battle. And just like everyone else, he was getting ready. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him, he asked him not to join them, and instead to stay with Ruqayya to take care of her. She was extremely ill, and there was no one to look after her. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after the Battle of Badr, he set aside a share of the ghanima, a share of the spoils of the war, for Uthman, even though he did not participate. As we know, in jihad, when the Muslims are victorious and they win all of these ghanaim, the spoils of war, the booty of war, those who are rewarded with it, they are the fighters, not anyone who did not participate. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam set aside a share for Uthman. Why? Because the only reason Uthman did not have the honor of participating in that battle was because of the orders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was not a single battle that he missed after that with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, after the Muslims left Medina for Badr with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, back in Medina, Ruqayya, her illness became more severe, and she eventually passed away. And so this was heartbreaking for Uthman radiallahu an. Not only did he miss out on the battle, you know, this very decisive battle, the most important battle in the history of Islam, but he also loses his wife. And so, although it was a very difficult day for him, he prayed her janazah and he buried her. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who was victorious in the Battle of Badr, he sent Zayd ibn Haritha to rush to Medina to deliver the good news of the victory. And so this brought some joy to Uthman radiallahu anhu, but obviously what overshadowed it was the death of his beloved wife, Ruqayyah. Then when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam arrived with the army, he was saddened to receive this news of the death of his daughter. And this was his very first daughter to pass away from among his four daughters. Ruqayya was the first to pass away. And it was his first child. She was his first child to pass away in adulthood. As we know, the Prophet ﷺ lost his sons while they were young. And it was only his daughters who lived, till they became adults. And Ruqayya was the first of them to pass away in adulthood. And so he went to her grave and he prayed for her. And so this was the life of Ruqayya radiallahu anha. And this is all we know of her life, due to the simple fact that, as you can see, she didn't live that long. But as we can see, even though her name is not mentioned as much among the Sahabiyat, we don't know much about her. There are not that many narrations or ahadith mentioning her. Whatever little we have learned from the life of Ruqayya, we can learn themes of faith and sacrifice and perseverance, all for the sake of Allah and this deen. You know, even from whatever little we've learned from her life, we can see all of these lessons from her life. And so, every single Muslimah should learn something from the life of Ruqayya, and how, Allah tests us, but we need to persevere patiently through these tests. And when we do, Allah rewards us, and He rewards us greatly. It's all a matter of patience and taqwa. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever has the taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for him, meaning out of every difficulty. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And He will provide for him from ways that he never imagined. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whoever puts their trust in Allah, then He is sufficient for them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا. And whoever has the taqwa of Allah, Allah will make his affairs easy for him. Allah will make his affairs easy for him. And so if you're going through a rough time in your life, turn to Allah and maintain that strong bond with Allah, instead of doing what a lot of other people do, where they resort to other ways of, relieving them of whatever distress they're going through, instead of turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is all we have about Ruqayya radiallahu anha. Insha'Allah, next week we'll move on to the next daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is Kulthum radiallahu ta'ala anha wa ardaha. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك وصلي اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.